Well, today I'm not, don't have a Father's Day message, sorry. Mother's got theirs on Mother's Day, but sometimes, you know, when you're in a series, you got to just do it, right? So last week we started this series called Back to the Basics, and so we're going to continue in that series this morning. I said that there are four things over the next 4 weeks that we're going to look at, and we're going to look at the second one of those things today. Last week, we talked about prayer. And we talked about prayer being one of those foundations of our faith. We talked about how Jesus himself had a very devoted and committed prayer life, and how some ways, in a lot of ways, we've kind of gotten away from that. And I left you with a few things, and I said that I was going to encourage you to do a couple of things. And those things were pray consistently, not just to pray this week, but pray consistently, or last week I should say, to pray boldly. I mean, what is it in your life that you really need, that you've been kind of afraid to ask for, because, like, you know, that seems a little selfish maybe, but Scripture tells us to pray boldly. And those were maybe not that hard, but then I hit you with this one. I said, I also want you to pray for an enemy or somebody that you don't necessarily see eye to eye with. And so my question this morning before we get into today's message is, how did you do with those things? How consistently or constantly did you pray? Did you pray for something that you've been avoiding praying for a while? Did you pray for an enemy? Maybe enemy is not even the right word. Did you pray for somebody that you just kind of annoys you a little bit, that maybe just rubs you the wrong way? We all have those people, and we're called to pray for them. And so that's just kind of a wrap-up from last week. But on our journey, we continue today with the very Word of God. Last week was prayer. Today I want to talk about the very Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, if you will. And like I said during the prayer time, I shouldn't even have to do a message about this, right? Because this should seem so obvious and such a basic and obvious important part of the Christian faith. And yet, for some reason, somewhere along the way, we have gotten completely away from it in a lot of ways. Maybe not you personally, maybe not this church, but maybe some have, maybe other churches have, maybe we have, but certainly as a culture, as a society, as a country, as a world, whatever, we have gotten far, far away from the Word of God. In a day and age where truth seems to be whatever you want it to be, right? Scripture often is overlooked and it's ignored, especially in the hustle and bustle of our daily lives. We know the simple truth is that the Bible is anything but unimportant, though. As we'll learn today, the Word of God is living, and the Word of God is active. The Word of God is profitable. It's profitable for teaching. It's profitable for rebuking and correcting. And it's profitable for training. And that just kind of scratches the surface a little bit. The Bible is full of wisdom. It's full of surprises. It's basically everything that we will ever need to know. And yet, we continue to search in a million other places. We know a couple of things about the Bible. There are 66 smaller books that make up the Word of God, that make up the Bible, right? Maybe you didn't know that. We know that they're divided into two major parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament covers about 70 years of history, including the birth and the ministry of Jesus. Just some tidbits of information. And we learn about the early church, just as after Jesus had ascended, and how the early church functioned. And really, the premise for our series, the Back to the Basics. We celebrated the birthday of the church two Sundays ago. for our study today will primarily be in the New Testament, learning from Jesus and some of the original apostles. Many probably know, and most all of you know, that the Bible is the all-time best-selling book in the history of the world. It's pretty intriguing, right? Think of all the bestsellers out there. The Bible continues to be the bestseller. The Bible is translated into over 700 different languages. Did you even know that there were 700 languages out there? Like, I mean, what, could you name, like, what, 10? You know, really. It's been translated into over 700 languages. That's as of September 2020. It may be even higher than that now. And there are entire ministries, like Wycliffe Bible Translators, whose aim is to translate the Bible to every single language on this earth. I have a good friend of mine who has served with me in ministry at camp, who is, I guess you'd call him a missionary, for Wycliffe. And he is a Bible translator. And it's just a profound and fantastic ministry they have. Translating the scripture to get it into as many people and people groups as they can. I think we would all agree that it's important for everyone on earth to have access to the Holy Scripture. And yet here we are taking it for granted. As I mentioned before, it's living, it's active, it's profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Basically, the Word of God is this amazing, incredible gift that God has given to us. Just like the amazing gift of the Spirit that we talked about a couple weeks ago, this is His Word, and He has given it to us as a gift. So this morning, let's see what we can learn from this incredible gift this morning. Have you ever read the Bible and just read something that just kind of jumps out at you? Like you're like, whoa. As if the Bible knew what you needed to know in that moment? Or have you just randomly opened up to a passage and it's like, wow, that's exactly what I needed for today. Whatever you were dealing with or going through, you just, you know, maybe you just randomly opened the Bible and said, you know what, I'm just going to start reading here today. And you're like, wow, it's exactly what I needed today. God has this uncanny way of doing that in our lives. And what I think is even more incredible about that is it might even be a text that you have read a time or two or 100 times in the past. But at that particular time, you're going through a little something different in your life, and when you open it up, you're like, wow, I've heard that verse, I've read that verse, but I've never read it that way. I've never understood it or received it that way, probably because at the time you read it the last time, you weren't going through whatever you're going through in your life. I would encourage you, when you open up God's Word to read it, just pray to God. Say, you know what, Lord? Let me read your Word. Let me receive it in a new and fresh way this time. And just see what God might do. This is kind of unrelated to the Word of God, but I remember a worship leader. And when she would lead worship, it's like this every week, you know, just doing it week in and week out and week in and week out. But it just seemed like she just seemed so refreshed by it every week. And when she was interviewed, somebody asked her, it's like, when you lead worship, it's like you're leading it for the first time. And she's like, how do you do that? And she said, every time I lead worship, before I start, I pray to God, let me experience worship in a new and refreshing way today. The same songs that she's done before, but just praying that they're worship in a new and refreshing way. And I would encourage you to do that the next time you read God's Word and just say, Lord, let me hear it in a new and refreshing way this morning. The writer of Hebrews describes the words of Scripture as being both alive and active. In Hebrews 4:12 it says, for the Word of God is alive and active. sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. So maybe you ought to be a little cautious the next time you read it, because it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You read the Word of God and it will reveal what's in your heart and what's in your attitude, both good and bad. That's what we call conviction, right? To be alive in this sense means to be counted among the living, not the dead. The point being here is that the writer of Hebrews very much counts the words of Scripture among the living, just as other human beings, as animals, etc. would be. The word's also active means effective. It's active. It's effective and it's productive in its work. But here is the sad dynamic. So many people, and yes, including Christians, are living in lives and making choices as though Scripture is no longer relevant. The writer says it's living and it's active, and yet we make choices as though it's no longer relevant. The Word of God is active, and it is living. It's not dead, and it still holds power, and it's still truth. Sometimes I think we treat it as though it's a thing of the past. Is a has-been, a once thing, something that was written many years ago, but it's dead now. There was a time in history when Scripture was respected, and it was the trusted authority of over all matters, and people didn't question it. That's changed now. That has not changed, but people's perception of it has certainly changed. For those of us in the room this morning that have been reading the Bible for some time, and I think that most of us here today probably fall into that category, I think we can both agree that the Bible is living and it is active. And to drive the point home, the author of Hebrews says the word is more effective than a double-edged sword at dividing and cutting the soul and the spirit. That's some power. The word is powerful. And it's able to get down to the heart of the matter. When you have a discussion with somebody on something, the Word of God is powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. As I say, it gets down to the heart of the matter. When it comes to a situation, when it comes to a debate, the Bible will tell you what's truth. And it cuts to the heart of the matter. And in that moment, it should be case closed, topic closed. This is what the Word of God says about it. Why are we still talking about it? But we do, and we will, and we'll beat it up when the Word of God is clear. So again, if you've ever read the Bible and it seemed to be speaking directly to you in that situation, then I think it's fair to say that it probably was. If it feels like it was talking to you, then it probably was. And as we grow in our faith, it's important to continue to return to Scripture again and again, submitting ourselves to the Word of God and allowing the Spirit to work in us and through us in our lives as we read it. I know this might sound kind of Christian 101, right? We've talked about it. We know. Why are we doing this again? Because for some reason, we've gotten away from it. I had a meeting at work the other day, and as we gathered, I said, I feel like I could just make a recording of the top five things, and at every meeting, just hit record. Because every meeting, it seems like I'm talking about the same five things. And I'm like, there's only a reason that we're talking about the same five things, and it's because it's the same five things that we seem to be struggling with. So they say, didn't we talk about this last meeting? I'm like, we did. And we'll probably talk about it the next one, and the next one, and the next one, because we still can't seem to get it right. So we continue to talk about the Word of God because we continue to not get it right, it would seem. The text says that the Word of God is profitable. I'm sure most of you here today understand the idea of something being profitable. More often than not, when we think of profitability, we're referring to a financial gain of some sort or a financial win. Interestingly, the word is also synonymous with the words beneficial and useful. So when we think about profitable, we think about beneficial, and we think about useful. And when the Apostle Paul is writing to the young pastor Timothy, in 2 Timothy, he tells him this in verses 16 and 17. That all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture, can I say that again and again and again and again? All Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God, even though it might not have been penned by God. It was given by God, breathed by God, put out by God. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. You may have noticed one verse that says Scripture is useful, and the other says it's profitable. The good news is the Word of God is both. It's both profitable and it is useful. Add that to being living and active or effective in its work. And the Bible is also great for teaching, correction, reproof, and training in righteousness. Well, I'm not going to go through all of those today. We simply wouldn't have time for that. I will say that these are important words in the life of a disciple or a student of the Word of God. As we follow Jesus, we submit ourselves to His process, His plan, and His direction in our life. Simply put this way, the Bible is profitable in the life of a disciple. And I hope that we're all on the path of becoming disciples and being disciples. And its profit is more than financial gain, of course, it's spiritual gain. Following Jesus will cost you, but the valued gain is unimaginable. This is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, theologian, pastor, activist. He said, "Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again and again. The gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it allows us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it cost a man his life, and it's grace because it gives a man the one true life." Don't you love that? It cost a man his life, but it gives man the only true life. And here we are again, back at the feet of Jesus, where it all begins and ends for those who follow Him. The Word of God is where it begins. The Word of God is where it ends for the disciples of Jesus Christ. Which brings me to my most important point this morning. And that is, the Word is where you encounter Jesus. The Word is where you encounter Jesus. And you know why I say that? Because Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. This is where our conversation gets a little weird. Admittedly, Jesus often spoke in parables and stories, which at times made it difficult to understand what he was really getting at. Some of the parables are pretty easy. Some of them are like, what point is he trying to get across here? In fact, the original disciples even struggled at some times trying to figure out exactly what Jesus was trying to get across with his messages. However, it seems to me that the message that I'm about to share with you is rather clear. And this is what it says in 1 John 1-5. The Word of God was with God in the beginning, and all things were made through the Word. There is life in the Word, and the Word is the light of mankind. Dropping down to verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among mankind. That's Jesus. The Word became flesh. The Word became Jesus, and it dwelt among us. The Gospel of John goes on to explain that that this Word is, in fact, Jesus. Actually, it couldn't even be more clear when it said the Word became flesh. That means the Word is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. And that is why we can confidently say that the Word of God is living and active. Is this why sometimes I feel that when I'm reading the Bible is actually reading me? You ever get that feeling like trying to read the Bible, but the Bible is actually reading me? In John 6:46, and actually throughout John 6, Jesus refers to himself as the living bread, or the bread of life. You've heard that term. If you haven't, open up John chapter 6 and give it a read. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, shortly after he was baptized, it says he was led off into the desert to be tempted by Satan, by the devil. How did Jesus respond? He said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God," in Matthew 4:4. Jesus knew. Jesus knew that he didn't need another loaf of freshly baked French bread from the local bakery. I mean, they're good. The donuts this morning are good. We enjoy them. We smile at them and we're happy to have them, but it's not what we really need. We don't need donuts. We need the Word of God. And that's what Jesus said to Satan. I don't need any of that stuff you're tempting me with. I don't need any of that stuff that you're offering me. I don't care what you offer. Keep offering. I don't need it. I don't need it. He said, in fact, I don't need anything from you, Satan. What he needed is the same thing that we need now. What Jesus needed then is what you and I need now, and that is the very Word of God, the living bread, the bread of life. Jesus needed it then, and we need it now. There is no other bread out there that may satisfy our hunger. But there is nothing else that will cure your spiritual salvation. Only Jesus can do that. The Word made flesh, the bread of life, Scripture. I'll close with this. I believe, I truly believe, it is the of utmost importance in the life of any believer, that's you and I, to be in God's Word every single day. Every single day. It's the bread of life. It's what gives us life. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. We need Jesus every day. There's nothing like it. There's no other book that has ever been written. And I can guarantee you that there is not another book in existence that anyone can say is alive and active. It's not dead. It's not a thing of the past. It's living and active, and it's useful and it's beneficial. And yet, I understand that sometimes it gets complicated. There's some books in the Old Testament that are not easy. Not easy to understand. It gets complicated. And almost before you know it, your Bible reading plan is kind of a bust. It's going well till you get to Leviticus or whatever, and then you're like, whoo! Or that devotional you had bought to help give you some structure is nothing more than a permanent fixture on your mantle. How many of you have that devotional book that you got, somebody gave it to you, a friend, and you read it for a week, and it was like, man, this is great. And there it is, right up there on the mantle. And then somebody mentions it, you're like, oh, that's a great devotional book. I remember when I read it for a week, it was awesome. I don't read it anymore, but trust me, it's still awesome. So today, instead of another bullet point plan or a bunch of hooting and hollering, I'm just going to leave you with a few more thoughts, a few more words from Jesus. Matthew 6:11. Many of you will be familiar, and this is the verse from the Lord's Prayer where Jesus simply says, and give us this day our daily bread. That's his word. That's his word. Give us this day the word of God. What if Jesus wasn't talking about bagels and French bread? What if he was talking about the bread of life? What if he was instructing his disciples to pray for him? And what if God gave us daily access to Christ through Scripture? Through the Word of God, we have daily access to God the Father. We have daily access to Jesus Christ because it says that Jesus is the Word and the Word is Jesus. We have daily access to him and his thoughts and his words. We have daily access to his promises. We have daily access to the things that he wants us to do. We have daily access to the teachings to know how to act and how to speak and what to do. Wouldn't that be an amazing way for God the Father to provide for all of his kids? Isn't it just like God to do that? To say, you know what? I am going to give you the gift that keeps on giving. You've heard that, man. This is like the gift that keeps on giving. The Word of God, that's what it is. It's like this beautiful gift that keeps on giving. But it doesn't keep on giving like this. I mean, if it's sitting there like this, it isn't giving you anything. So let me say this. It has the potential to be the gift that keeps on giving. But only if you open it, only if you read it, only if you study it. So, it's not going to get any easier. Because as we go on, I'm going to ask you this week to go back to week one and pray for something boldly. Pray consistently. Pray for an enemy. Pray for that person that rubbed you the wrong way. Pray for that person that annoys you. Add it on top of that this week. Read your Bible. Open it up. Understand what it says. It's living and active, but it's not living and active if it's closed. It's not living and active if it doesn't get open. It's not useful, effective, powerful, and beneficial, and it doesn't train us to do anything. We don't read it. It doesn't teach us how to live. It doesn't teach us what truth is if we don't read it, if we don't open it. But if we read it and we open it, it's living, it's active, it's powerful, it's beneficial, it's correction, it's rebuke, it's training in righteousness, and it teaches us how to live, and it's truth. in a world of lies. Pray for somebody this week. Open up the Word of God and let it be living and active. And let it give you access to Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the Word and the Word is Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, you have blessed our lives in so many ways. You have given us so many things. And Lord, in the last few weeks, we have looked at some of the greatest gifts you have ever given us, like the gift of your Spirit and the gift of prayer. And now this morning, Lord, the gift of your Word. These gifts that just keep giving and giving and giving. These gifts that are living, and these gifts that are active, and these gifts that are useful, and these gifts that are beneficial. Lord, forgive us when we take these gifts for granted. When we take the gift of the Spirit and the gift of prayer and the gift of your Word for granted, so much so that we don't rely on them, that we don't use them, that we don't practice them. Lord, I pray for each person here this week that through the power of the Spirit that you have given them as a gift, that they would be able to pray boldly, constantly, and for someone, and that they would have the discipline to open up your Word this week. We can do it, Lord, because of the gift of the Spirit. And we can understand it and we can interpret it because of the gift of your Spirit. We thank you for those things. Lord, again, we thank you for this day. And again, we thank you for the fathers among us. And Lord, most importantly, we give you thanks for the good, good Father, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Dan. Please stand if you are able.